come along. Quick podcast for Patreons. And we might share it widely as well with all of our lovely community. But we've taken our questions from the Patreons only. If you're not a Patreon, you can become a Patreon at a bargain price. And we have some new Patreons, such as Daniel, who's asked us a question today. So welcome to all of the new Patreons. It's patreon.com/LTEL. And from there, it's quite easy, I think. Everyone's managed it, so that's good. One quick thing, right? So thank you to all the guys who took part in the Meet the Patreons. But Henry would like to point out Mads offered Osasuna up as an example of a team that might park the bus. And Henry's like, oh, but excuse me. But there we are, yes. It was a good chat, but we were sort of chatting about the bottom half. Actually, yeah, they're not guaranteed bottom half, mid-table of La Liga, and the different approaches to how it used to be when teams used to be a pushover. So it's sort of a compliment in a way, but also I think Matt's just chose a team that might support. Play like that. Yes, yeah, it happened to pick on Henry's team. Yeah, there we are. Yeah. Right, so thank you to everyone who sent the questions in. Shall we dive? Oh, actually, Terry, just give us a quick overview. Spain in the Olympics. I'm commentating. I'm doing Germany tomorrow, and then I'm away on holiday. I shouldn't say this because I'm about to be paid to work on it. I sometimes struggle with Olympic football. I don't know where it stands in the whole. Just after the Euros, just before the season starts, I'm sort of thinking, Olympic Games football. I don't know. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if they didn't play football at the Olympics to me.
Yeah, and Copa America as well. That's straight after that, and we're all looking forward to after the European Championships and the Copa America, of course, looking forward to the new seasons, getting sort of our club heads on and domestic league heads on. And then all of a sudden I had to work hard to find it. I found it on Eurosport on a red button. It's an interesting Spanish squad. I'm flabbergasted that some of those that went to played in the European Championships are still in it as well. Pedri in particular. Nice, and he was brilliant again. But it's football to watch. Spain they should have won against Egypt. Loads of chances that they failed to take. I didn't think they played as smartly as they should have done. It was quite an aggressive game in which the referee was quite lenient with the challenges. So Egypt were able to get bodies back behind the ball, be aggressive in their play, and they found it. You know, they were successful in stopping Spain getting through. So it was, it's quite early in the morning. It's better than the other stuff that's on daytime television. So it was, quite pleasant.
And it's on Eurosport in the UK. You can press the red button and...
It's BBC red button as well.
Is it? Right, okay. Yeah.
Mexico, France was on that, which I found quite easy, but I couldn't find the Spain game. And on the off chance on Eurosport, which Mexico France game was on both channels live. And on the off chance, I pressed the red button on Eurosport, not knowing what was going to happen. I could have ended up anyway. It could have been like Stranger Things. And I pressed the red button and it ended up with an option to watch Spain versus Egypt. So.
Eurosport, actually Discovery, own the rights to the Olympics in the UK. And but they're obliged to sublet them to the BBC or to a terrestrial channel. And it's always been the BBC. So there we are. So it's actually everything. If you want to watch the shooting, the heats for the swimming and all of that, it's all on Eurosport as well as BBC Red Button. So there we are. Depends on your view of the Olympics. It's a bit of a joyless prospect coming up, I think, isn't it? Doing all these sports in front of nobody. I know we've had a year of it at football and we got used to it, didn't we? But something about the Olympics always says to me, you know, Usain Bolt, Seb Coe, it's the screaming crowds and all that you want, isn't it? So, you know,
just so much drama, isn't there, in those historic moments and backed by full stadiums.
Yeah.
It is going to be a difficult watch, I must say. Because the time difference isn't going to help either.
Yeah, the worst thing about the football, there are times the worst bits of football with no fans, you are thinking these are just blokes kicking the ball around. and there is a danger with the Olympics. There's just a woman chucking something, or there's a bloke running around a track. I don't know why, just out for a run. Without the fans there, anyway. Right, let's get on to our Q&As. I think we'll start with Paul's question because it's transfer sort of not happening, but it is at least one that's happened. So he wants us to sort out Atletico for next season. What does the team actually require? Right. He feels the Saul Griezmann talks quite bizarre from an Atleti point of view, giving the direct rivals a player entering his prime to game an older forward with a higher wage bill, while also paying for this to happen. It didn't sit right with me, as I believe the central midfield raises more questions than up front. So going from last season, Koke, no question, he says. Saul moved to left back constantly. Llorente played wide. Kondogbia, good, but mainly as a sub. Herrera, not ideal. Torreira, no impact. I realise DePaul has been added and optimistic that they're going to get a feel getting João Félix to play more and coming up with a consistent midfield is a better option than paying an arm and a leg to get Griezmann.
Yeah, I looked at this and I kind of understand, not a lot of people do understand what's happening with the Saul and the Griezmann and the finance. I think the finances of it. And of course, the difference in age between the two players. The merits are clear, though, that Griezmann looks like he's going to be leaving Barcelona. And Saul perhaps, possibly does need a change, you know, and perhaps it might be wiser for Atletico to get some decent income in terms of a transfer fee. That's if they sell him independently. This swap deal that might possibly happen is quite confusing for everybody to understand. But I think if he was to sell separately to a big club and raise, I'm guessing, 40, 50, 60 million euros, then it might suit everybody. Atletico get the income, Sal gets a new transfer, that works out well. And I think we have to add Thomas Lemar to that group as well. Yannick Carrasco is another player that's played in those midfield wider areas. My understanding is that Atletico next season with Simeone, his intention, what he would like to do, is to play Suarez up front with Griezmann and João Félix behind him. That's the idea of buying Griezmann. So that's where he wants him to play, and possibly Griezmann at times in a midfield, orthodox attacking midfield role. So I think that then leaves you to think that there'll be a three-man central midfield. And I think numbers-wise, they're okay, even if Saul was to leave. You look at Koke, Kondogbia, Marco Llorente, instead of playing wide, could play central, which I think is, I'm not sure it's his best position, but I think it's a better position for him than playing wide. Lemar, we shouldn't forget his improvement last year as well. I think he was a massive bonus for Atletico Madrid last season, that Thomas Lemar suddenly looked a really good player, an important player. So he was another one. Hector Herrera, I think, never lets the team down when he plays. Got quality, experience, still got that ability to get about the pitch as one of the older players. And we said with Paul that Rodrigo de Paul has joined the club as well. So interesting player, 5 years at Udinese. Briefly remember him it was actually longer than I thought, a couple of years at Valencia where he didn't get much playing time in his early 20s. He's gone away, had 5 good years at Udinese, become a regular international for Argentina, and now joining up with Atletico. So I think that'd be an interesting one. So I don't think Sal, I'm a massive admirer. My honest opinion is that it probably suits everybody if they were to sell him, get some money, and sell to have a new start somewhere else. But I think he's a fantastic player. But just last season was, it wasn't his best season. Although they won the league, and he's got every right to be proud of that, he was shuffled around from position to position. I have a thought, a theory, and I don't know, people might think I'm daft. Do you remember Sal playing on loan at Rayo Vallecano? 2013-14, the season Atletico won the league. He was fantastic as a centre-back. That's the one place we've never seen him play for Atletico Madrid. And I just wondered, I'm not sure the swap's going to happen there with Barcelona. I wondered then, a left-footed central defender, perhaps it's not at the top of the list for Barcelona, but I could kind of see him playing that role at Barcelona, because a lot of people won't remember him playing there. Defensively, he was good. He's quick enough. He's decent, good in the air. Left-footed, good on the ball, most importantly. It will be his main attribute. And it's a position that I thought he could have played at Barcelona. But, of course, they got Longley, they got Umtiti. They've signed Eric Garcia. You got Piqué, Ronald Araujo. So, because everyone was wondering, where's he going to fit? Because the Barcelona midfield picks itself now, doesn't it? The three-man midfield. Busquets, De Jong, Pedri. So if you were Sal, why would you go and put yourself in a similar position to what you found yourself this season at Atletico Madrid, where you were not a fringe player, that would be too harsh, but not a regular as a central midfield player. So it'd be interesting. But I actually think for Atletico to push forward, I think the fullback positions might be somewhere they need to look at. A lack of depth, possibly. So Trippier and Lodi, no problems at all. Trippier might leave, so that might be an issue. Lodi lost his way, lost the faith of Simeone at some parts again last season, but I think there was an improvement in Renan Lodi's performances last season. So I wouldn't suggest for one moment they get rid of him and sell him or whatever, but there was a problem when he wasn't playing. Other players were sort of playing, you know, Hermoso played left-back, Saul played left-back. So if Simeone isn't entirely convinced that Lodi is his man, then perhaps another left-back for competition as an alternative. So that would be the positions I would be looking at for Atletico, considering a backup to Trippier, because when he was suspended, he was really missed. And I think that, you know, another left-back, so the full-back positions would be the one. Centre-backs, they're fine. Savic, Jimenez, Felipe, not a problem. And I still think all three, not Jimenez because he's young, but Savic and Felipe in particular have got playing time left in them. So I think that the fullback position would be the one I would be sort of keeping an eye on if I was Atletico Madrid.
So let's crack on to Barcelona because it sort of rolls that way. So Philip says, it seems as though selling players is pretty futile for Barca, but will the player swaps be enough to get Messi signed? To me, it seems the best way forward would be 2-for-1 swaps, like Barca wanted extra cash plus Saul, but that didn't work. Perhaps throwing in Umtiti would actually benefit Barcelona, lose 2 big wages and get some cash in. What do you think of this? My brain is already hurting trying to write this in a way that makes sense.
Makes sense. Well, it makes sense, Philip.
I always, when you see transfer speculation and it says it's going to be a swap, I always think, nah, they've just made that up. Because in reality, swaps, as we've seen with Saul and Griezmann, it seemed at some point that all parties seemed to want that for a while. It's a very, very hard to get swaps done, isn't it? Because you're just weighing up so many different factors because you've got Umtiti's wages to chuck into that. So at some point, Barcelona, it's hard for them to drive hard deals, isn't it? Because they're in a mess. Everyone knows they're in a mess. But at some point, they can't just go giving people away, can they? At some point, they can. Someone like Umtiti, they can give away. I know I'm rambling. I'm sorry.
They can't.
Right.
Because of his wages.
Yeah. As in a zero transfer fee is, and you'd be delighted with that for Umtiti, wouldn't you? If someone would take him and you don't contribute to his wages, would be a success for Barcelona.
I think Umtiti in particular is an interesting one because if he was a manager and you could get him free, yeah, or very low transfer fee, realistic wages, and I'm still talking a lot of money, so it's a commitment still. It'd be interesting to know people's thoughts on whether there is a way back from Titi back to his best. Now, this is a player that was an important player when they won the World Cup. His partnership with Varane was essential to them winning the trophy. But it's since then. He's barely played. He's barely played well. He's had injuries. How much of that is a factor of managers not fancying him, not giving him opportunities, not playing him so he can ever get his rhythm back to becoming near to what he was 3 years ago? I still think it's possible. I don't think he's too old to do that. I still think there's enough in the tank that a club can take a chance. Personally, I would. You know, if I was a decent-sized club in Europe that could get him for a reasonable fee or free, realistic wages, I would take a gamble on a player, despite not playing much in recent seasons. I would still, you know, you'd want to have a chat with him and talk to him, look him in the eye and see what his ambition is, or whether his ambition lays in staying at Barcelona and picking up the money. So that's what managers have to do. Talk to him, see what his ambition is, see what his hunger is like, see whether he wants to get back or whether he's, after winning the World Cup, it's careers downhill from there. And
so what kind of money is he on, would you guess? I know you don't know. And then what kind of compromise would he have to make to find himself a club?
I would imagine he's on about 150,000 a week. I would imagine, knowing some of the other players' wages, salaries in Barcelona and other clubs in La Liga, other clubs in the Premier League as well.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be out the question for a player of his stature to have been earning that money. So
what kind of...
Is he going to drop to half the money, 80,000 a week?
And then what kind of club would get him for that would is realistic?
Would you... No one in La Liga.
Yeah.
No one in La Liga can get anywhere near that. Yeah. So there's only three or four clubs. Well, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, Real Madrid, that pay that type of money. Big drop down when you go to Sevilla, Villarreal and Valencia and the other clubs that do pay reasonable salaries. So it wouldn't be a La Liga club. It would have to be one of the big clubs in France. So you're talking PSG. They're not going to do it. So Premier League clubs are the top five or six clubs in the Premier League going to take that gamble. Probably don't need to. Well, if you're a Manchester United, you're looking at Varane, you might think, well, you know, can we, you know, renovate? Can we refurbish Samuel Umtiti? You know, for the salary isn't going to be a problem for a club like United. The transfer fee isn't a problem, but is it too big a gamble?
They're also Eric Bailly, haven't they? Who's an injury prone defender who's really good in it on his day. Yeah. You know, do you want another one?
That's what I'm saying. That the point is, those clubs that have got the money, they've got other options. Mm. They don't need to get someone on the cheap. They're buying from the top drawer.
Yeah.
Then you're looking down at the clubs that qualify for Europe, West Ham, for instance. Would Umtiti go to West Ham for half, two-thirds of his salary that he's earning at Barcelona, where he can stay there and earn that? And if you're West Ham, would you, a West Ham, I'm saying West Ham in particular, a West Ham, would you think we can get, you know, this player who won the World Cup 3 years ago, who was absolutely fantastic, check his injuries, check his ambition, check his hunger, his motivation to continue playing football, which I have to be honest, I'm not sure about. Whether it's a lack of confidence in his body, lack of confidence shown to him by the managers, he's become error prone, he doesn't look as quick as he used to. Is that down to him losing the hunger, losing that motivation after winning the World Cup, or is it down to lacking confidence in all sorts of issues? So it's an interesting one, but the players' wages are problematic. Futile selling players, because they're selling players like Junior Firpo for just over 10, 12 million, 13 million pounds, doesn't make any dent or difference into their financial issues. De La Fuente has gone to Marseille, I think, isn't it, for about 4 million. That's pocket money. Yeah. That really doesn't make any difference. So that's why it's futile. The worry is for Barcelona, the ones that they don't want to sell are the ones that people want. You know, and then, or you have a problem like Griezmann, where Barcelona don't particularly want to sell him because of how he's played. It's because they want his wages off the wage bill. And there's not many clubs that can afford his wages. So the bigger problem. So Barcelona should be worried that in their financial situation, one of the major clubs in Europe doesn't come along with a big offer for Pedri, for De Jong, for, you know, one of the players that they want to keep. So it's I agree. Yeah. Philippe, selling players is futile for small fees, but they're not the big wage earners. The big wage earners, people like Pjanic and people like that, are the ones they need to move on. But if you're a player and you're earning that money, I did a transfer. I went from 750 pounds a week at United to 500 at Wimbledon. It was horrendous. You know, it was a big decision. I went because I wanted to play first team football. I never regretted it. But can you imagine how it's changed now? Where, you know, I'm talking about £200 or £300 a week.
75 grand to 50 grand it would be now, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Or, yeah, we're talking millions of pounds a year to go and play first team football.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I would sit with that. I have to be honest. I'd like to turn around and be honest and say, no, I would go and play first team football elsewhere. But if I was losing £5 million a year, I don't know. I'm not so sure. But so it's difficult to just shove players out the door and move them on. And you know, you're going to have to, in some instances, sell the player, give the player away, and continue to contribute to their salary.
Yeah, but that doesn't solve the problem. That only solves a tiny amount of your problem, doesn't it? Because, you know, you're effectively giving away players. The other option is you play them. and stop signing new players. Which is,
I won't use Umtiti's name again, but say you sell it, you get rid of a player, move a player on. Yeah. Hate that word, get rid of. Move, you release a player on a free transfer. He's on 150,000 a week. His new club are going to pay him 75. He comes to you and says, well, I'm losing 75 a week. You want me to go, so you know you're going to have to help out here. So you're going to have to continue to pay me, let's say, 30,000-40,000 a week for another 2 years.
Yeah, but there are clubs who are doing that all over the place, aren't there? Yeah,
4 million.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. But I don't know why Barca keep looking for new players. Surely, we discussed some TT. So they're trying to sign Eric Garcia on a free, which makes sense. All right, young player, blah blah blah. But until this lot are gone, why are you getting new ones in? Because you know, you're not sure how you're going to get Umtiti off your wage bill, are you?
Or Griezmann. And they've signed Depay and Aguero. Yeah.
There's all these sort of possibilities. None of them jump out as being easy to do. As Philip, you know, you try to sort it out. It just in your own mind trying to sort out, let alone actually do the deals. Yeah. But they're all the time, they're thinking, oh, we'll have him because he's free. We'll have him because he's free. We'll have him because he's free. But,
it just adds to the roster. Yeah. Of players you've already got without moving anybody on. The only ones they've moved on, the ones that didn't play much, Junior Firpozzi, De La Fuente.
Yeah.
I think Alenia is... It's hard getting on top of that. I think he's gone
Trincao.
To...
Trincao's gone to Wolves, hasn't he, on a...
Yes.
A loan for now.
A loan with a view.
Yeah.
It is...
Yes, anyway,
hard to be critical of the current regime, isn't it? Because I'm not sure how much they knew. Until you get in there and you're voted in, everybody knew it was a shit show, basically.
We knew, didn't we? I think
I bet it's a lot worse than we all thought. Clearly it is.
Well,
and then once you get in as Laporte, you go,
I thought we all knew. We knew it was a disastrous situation.
I didn't
situation.
Know it was this bad.
Do you know?
I didn't know it was going to be to the stage where they can't. They need physical...
They had a billion of debt and they'd signed crazy deals. Yeah, but the debt is an issue.
It is an issue, but it's big clubs always manage debt somehow. I don't know how they do. Well, but it is this salary cap that's causing the big problem now, isn't it?
Yeah, but that debt is playing on their salary cap, though, isn't it? That's pushing that salary cap down and down and down.
And it's gone down from something like 600 2 years ago.
Yeah.
200 now, isn't it? 200
yeah,
and something.
Yeah.
Imagine doing that to any club in Europe.
Yeah.
Pick Premier League ones where they're privately owned, and you said to Manchester City, Premier League champions last year, in the next 2 years, you've got to knock 400 million off your wage bill. This is what would happen. And I don't see how Barcelona are going to solve it in the next couple of weeks.
I suppose
22nd of July, we got...
What I hadn't grasped is how that salary cap would come down and down. I hadn't understood that. I thought the salary cap would stay similar. They would just have to sell to reduce the debt. But that squeeze is unbelievable.
It's
killing
them. I imagine it's the same with Real Madrid as well.
But they released some
from lack of supporters in the stadiums. It's tough
but
on them.
Barca were operating closer to the edge, weren't they? That was different, wasn't it? That's what got Barca. You know, they'd maxed out every bit of credit they could possibly find, and then
found another 500 million down the back of the sofa. Because I think a lot of the loans were short, they were short loans, weren't they?
Yeah,
they had to be repaid quickly.
We're going down to cash converters and Wonga and everywhere, and then you know, it's like, Messi's contract, that'll do for it's a mess, but some people think it'll get sorted. Some people are optimistic.
Think because it's football and it does tend to, for the big clubs, doesn't hit rock bottom. Somehow they do get through it.
Yeah, but we'll see. Quick one, no question about this, but Varane to Manchester United. Obviously, over on TalkSport, they think he's not good enough to come and play in the Premier League.
And he's not quick.
Yeah,
that was the latest one I heard today. His lack of pace alongside Maguire might be a problem. I'm thinking, lack of pace? But I don't know what to say. Speechless. No, he's a brilliant player and still a good age. And I think it would be a mistake for Real Madrid to let him go. I can understand perhaps he feels a need of a change now. And I think it would be a big hole in the defence of Real Madrid. personality-wise as well, to have lost Ramos and Varane in the same summer. And I think I think he's an exceptional player, brilliant centre-back, all the attributes you need. And he is lightning quick. Please, I can't believe someone said that. Jamie O'Hara said his lack of pace. That's an absolute nonsense. He's one of his best attributes is his pace, isn't he? He's one of those players that effortlessly is quick. You know, just when a centre forward thinks he's going to get the better of him, he glides past you. Really annoying attribute to have. If Manchester United can get him, and it does look possible now, I have to be honest. You know, the rumours haven't gone away. No one's really denying it. Real Madrid seems to be out in the open. All that's left probably now is that I think the obstacles were United have to find out whether Varane's interested at all. I know it's tapping up and it shouldn't be done, but let you into a little secret. It does. So once you find out a player's interested in the possibility, then he's probably looking at Real Madrid and thinking, are they going to do everything to keep me? That might be a factor. Perhaps Real Madrid haven't. And then you can agree terms with a player. And now what's left, it does appear as for United to agree a fee with Real Madrid. So I think he's a brilliant player. Very few better centre-backs in the world. It would be nonsense to suggest anything else with the trophies that he's won, representing Real Madrid for a decade, winning the World Cup, number of France caps are ridiculous. He's a brilliant centre-back.
Right. So a couple of questions about Brian Heal's transfer. So Taylor, hello, gents. Love to hear your thoughts on the Heal transfer. Daniel Dowell, who's a new signing. Looking forward to hearing both of you now that I've signed up. Reguilón last season after a good loan spell, tried for Koundé this season. Now looks likely to sign Brian Heal. One for Terry. How long until Daniel Levy goes in for Monchi? On a serious note, wanting your guys' opinion on the deal, Lamela and Heal. So is this your understanding of it?
Complicated.
Yeah, so £21 million plus Eric Lamela. And that would be the cost of Heal.
What is the value of Lamela? That's the complicated part,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Is he...
I don't know. It depends how close he is to being out of contract, doesn't it, I guess? If he's out of... I don't know if he signed a new one at some point.
Would it be fair to say 45, 50 million?
No, I don't think so.
Not for Lamela, for the combined.
Right, yeah.
So you're 21 for cash.
Yeah.
And 20 for Lamela. So Spurs are paying 40. Would that be unreasonable? Lamela 5? Is he 10? Is he 15? Is he 20? Knowing Daniel Levy, he's probably 60 million.
It's one of these ones. So, it depends how you want your books to look, doesn't it, this year?
Exactly. I think my opinion is that everybody's happy in this transfer, apart from the Seville supporters.
Yeah.
I think they saw Brian Heal as a player that they're exciting to watch, excited to get back to their club. I think Sevilla looking at it in terms of a player they haven't counted on for two seasons.
Yeah, well,
because he's been out on loan.
So there's not an emotional connection there, is there? Yeah. So it's not like selling one of your
favourites. Local. He's a local, though. So I think that is an emotional connection. But it's not like they're missing a player that served them well over the last couple of years. Did well eventually. It is the brilliant Ava. So Sevilla get the cash, get another player in. That means that their cash might mean they keep Koundé, you know, and one or two others that other clubs wanted to take away. So it keeps them strong. Adds a player in Eric Lamela, who's experienced. And I think when you look at the wide players, the attacking players that can play in wide positions at Sevilla, they're overstocked. I mean, I'm sure some of them are going to go out on loan. I've got Ocampos, Suso, Oscar Rodriguez, Munir, Alejandro Pozo, who was at Avo also last year, did well. Not as good as Brian Heal in terms of his performances, but played right back, right side midfield. So he might be one that goes out on loan again. Oliver Torres. They signed Idrissi, we haven't seen. He's another wide player. I guess he's either going to be sold or moved out on loan. Papu Gomez came in and did well. He's established. Willie Lopez has been there a couple of seasons now and we've barely seen play. So and adding Lamela to that mix as well. I'm sure some will go out on loan. It's a very experienced squad. There isn't too much youth in there now, which seems to be with the way Sevilla are going in terms of their hopes to win La Liga, which they should be aiming to do that. So this, in income that they're getting from selling Brian Hill for a player they haven't counted on. And Lamela should be happy. He's joining a fantastic football club, going to live in a beautiful city. Hopefully the supporters back in the stadium as well. And I think he's, you know, the amount of time he's been at Spurs, and I mean, he was one of those players that replaced Gareth Bale. He's served Spurs reasonably well. Some injury issues along the way where he disappeared for quite a few long periods of time, but he's still, you know, more than decent player. So I think the transfer actually suits everybody apart from those diehard supporters of Sevilla that love to see, you know, a Navas, a Ramos, a local young player come into their team and you know, be a superstar. Brian Hill, as a Spurs fan, I'm delighted. Yeah.
Right, okay, that's my next question. How good will he be?
Yep, I spoke to a number of supporters yesterday. I was down the gym and inundated with Spurs supporters. So what's he like? What's he? He's a bit skinny, isn't he? A bit small. And I'm, no, please. That's based on, they've all been straight on YouTube. He does look small. He does look skinny, but I think he's a lovely footballer. Big heart. He's got that determination and enough aggression to stand up to the physical challenges that he faces in any league. You know, I don't think La Liga is much different to the Premier League now. Certainly not the game I watched against Egypt, where the tackles were fast and furious, and you're thinking, referee not blown for that. Football around Europe now is very similar. So I don't expect him to be getting kicked up in the air every 5 minutes at Spurs, kicked out of the game and knocked off the ball. As a Spurs fan, I'm pleased. I think it's a good sign. Good, going in a different direction with a new director of football.
He's beefed up a bit, though, hasn't he? But he looked physically stronger to me.
He's similar to Messi, isn't he? And yeah, a whole load of other players we could, you know, they're not beefed up anymore. Their core stability is strong. There's not too many like Traore about. He's not in that category. But, you know, you have to have that degree of, you know, strength to get to the levels that players do when they're playing senior football. So I have no worries about him physically. And he works hard as well. Don't mind chasing back. Doesn't mind winning the ball back. Old-fashioned winger. As a Spurs fan, I'm more than happy with that.
Right, Stu says, if the Barca-Madrid financial issues continue to affect the clubs as badly as portrayed in the media, which other teams are best placed to join Atletico as regular 21st century title contenders?
Yeah, I'm glad Stu said Atletico are already there because they clearly are. And I think, you know, when last season, they've been top three for a number of years now. And I think going into the new season, they should be favourites to win it again. So that's the recognition they deserve. I think it's less work to do at Atletico than Real Madrid and Barcelona. And then I look around and I think Sevilla. I was critical of Lopetegui last season. I thought they underachieved in the season where Barcelona and Real Madrid were there to be overtaken. And they just failed to do it. So I expect better from Sevilla this season. And I base that on their squad. You know, their management of the squad, their management in terms of transfers, which all comes down to a club pulling in the right direction. Similarly, I think Villarreal as well. I think I'm looking at clubs that are well run, you know, that are not going to suddenly fall off the end of a cliff because, you know, they've overspent and stuff like that. If you're a well-run club with good players and good management, I'm talking about good coaches as well, then I think that gap can be closed by running your club in an efficient manner. So I think Villarreal do that.
Do you think that is a bigger factor than size of fan base or size of club?
Yes, yeah.
So say totally. Betis and Valencia. Valencia has obviously been quite a unique mess for Spanish football, hasn't it? Betis, sort of a huge fan base there to come. And if Betis had been as well run as Villarreal has been over the last 20 years, it would be a title.
But they're going that way.
Yeah.
They're going that way, Betis, now. Yeah, yeah. They fell into this category and they just missed out, in my opinion, at the moment, where they are currently are now. They're in the right direction. The other one I was going to say was Real Sociedad. And I think there are one or two additions needed, but I look at the age of their squad. And again, another very well-run football club. So you keep those young players together. I'm surprised more clubs are not going for their younger ones and trying to, you know, snap them up. So I think Real Sociedad have shown they're in a good position in terms of we don't have to sell. And they're a good enough club. The stadium looks fantastic, where the players don't desperately want to get away, move on. So they would be my ones. Sevilla, because of the squad. Villarreal, because it's a well-run football club that always improves. And I think Real Sociedad, because of the young age. I do feel they perhaps need to improve in the centre of defence. I think two new signings in the centre of defence. They've got some good players, but I think that's the one area where you could accuse them of being not as strong as the rest of the team. Attacking players, centre forward, wide players, midfield players, fullbacks. I just think the centre of defence needs looking at. So they would be mine. And then below that, you're looking at Betis, and can Athletic Bilbao do something, you know, under Marcelino with his first full season? I wouldn't expect they would be challenging for the title this year. But again, they're you know, obviously a well-run club. But we know the restrictions there that are placed upon them. That it's not easy to go out and bring in new players from wherever you want. So I'd go Sevilla, Villarreal, Real Sociedad at the moment.
Right. Another Daniel Musser says, curious for what you think about the newly promoted sides and which ones will show particular promise. So obviously Espanyol, Mallorca, and Rayo Vallecano. They're all back, aren't they? So, you know, there's no sort of new, unfamiliar names in there. Weird relegation. And a weird relegation, really, wasn't it, for Espanyol and for Mallorca? In that the fans didn't miss anything, you know.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah, that's a good point you make, actually. And looking around, I mean, it's hard. We judged La Liga, and I watched the odd second division games, and I watched the playoffs. And it is hard to get a grip on a weekly basis which players have remained and which ones have left. Espanyol looks familiar. You look at their team that have, you know, going to be probably starting next season. Diego Lopez still playing in goal. David Lopez is still at centre back. They signed, you remember, Cabrera for huge money. They managed to keep him. Leandro Cabrera from Getafe.
Yes,
they paid about 10 million for him, didn't they?
January, the relegation season, didn't they?
Yeah, he's still there. So a decent centre back pairing. Pedrosa is a young left back that was good. You've still got Sergi Dada playing in midfield. And importantly, they kept Raúl Thomas, who got them back up with his goals that he scored. Excuse me. Adrian Barber was another player they signed that January as well in that last-ditch attempt, wasn't it? So it's not an unfamiliar Espanyol team. It's just have they shaken off that awful season? Changing managers left, right and centre. So I think that's it's good to see them back. I think, you know, we wouldn't see the Catalan derby. And I think there's an expected return, I would imagine, for most people. The Espanyol bounce straight back up. For Mallorca, they've been the ones that have been most active, aren't they, in the transfer market? Looking at the Pablo Maffeo, they've brought in on loan. He was at Pesca last season. He's still on loan from the German club who own him. Angel Getafe is pitched up at Mallorca. He'll score goals this season as well. There's Jaume Costa, both of those players on free transfers, Amet and Dai. Well, I'm pleased to see back with a chance of playing in La Liga, because he was doing well at Getafe, serious knee injury, and we sort of lost track of him. So I think Mallorca have been the most active so far in the transfer market. Rayo Vallecano, looking at their team, it's there's Oscar Trejo is a familiar name from the past. He's still playing. I think when you look at it's the manager I think they're most interested in, Andone Iriola, the former Athletic Bilbao player, legend. San Mames. He's done well to get them back up via the playoffs. I would suggest they probably need a little bit of work in the transfer market, which we will see happen. Probably be loans, that, you know, young players around the league that's a surplus at Real Madrid and stuff like that, at Barcelona, that might get an opportunity to go out and play regular La Liga football. Atletico Madrid, for instance. And Lucas Zidane is their goalkeeper. So Zidane remains in La Liga.
Right, one last question, because I'm sweltering. and it's the last question we've been asked as well, to be fair. David, would be nice to see Sturridge work out at Mallorca. His goal against Sevilla in the Europa League final is one of my favourites. So he hasn't played for 17 months, Daniel Sturridge, has he?
Yeah.
But he was at his prime, which was probably the 13-14 season.
The Suarez and Sterling.
Yeah, the SAS one. It was absolute top quality then, wasn't he? But yeah. he's had a He's only 31.
Yeah.
So he's had a...
It's worth a chance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Looks
yeah.
a bit like the Umtiti one. I'm not sure he's signed for Mallorca yet. Has he?
No, it's trial, isn't it?
Trial.
Yeah.
The fact he's willing to go on trial suggests that he has that motivation and hunger. And, you know, if he's in shape...
He looks, then looks fit.
Why wouldn't you sign him if you're at Mallorca? Yeah. As long as the wages are not prohibitive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing.
I imagine he must know what's on offer, otherwise he wouldn't go on trial. So hopefully, it'd be an interesting story.
You would hope it would be some kind of appearance and goal-related things with some kind of... I guess he would want to be sold for a big fee or to get a big contract after 6 months or a year or something, wouldn't he? That would seem to make sense.
I guess the one thing you'd want to guard against was... Say he joined them for nothing and ripped it up. First 6 months, he scores loads of goals, and suddenly someone comes along and says, "Oh, we want to buy him now, and pay me all 5-10 million. Then he might say, "Hang on, you got me for nothing. I've come for cheap wages." There's got to be a realistic sell on, you know, buyer clause, and all those little things. So much to tie up. I think first and foremost, he has to show that he's still up to it. Yeah. That's a long time to not play, to not be training on a regular basis. I have to be honest. It's a challenge and one that at the age of 31 he should still be up to. So I think it's a really interesting story. I'm looking forward to seeing how that happens. And I hope that we do get to see him so the story continues for next season and to see what impact he can have on a really good football club that we're trying to do better than the last time they were in La Liga and trying to survive again this season. So it's a good story.
Yes.
So we wish him well.
Yeah, it'd be good. Yeah, it'd be good to see him in La Liga, wouldn't it? Right, so I think we'll leave it there, Terry, because we've got no more questions. And so thank you to everybody who sent in a question.
Just on that, sorry, he's 8 years younger than Jorge Molina and Joaquin, isn't he?
So start of his career.
Life in the old dogs,
yeah. Right, so thank you to everybody who sent in questions. Thank you to everyone who's a Patreon as well. And we'll be back with another podcast soon. I'm away on holiday next week. I'm going to a place called Wales, Terry, that if you've heard of it. So we'll be
just
back.
Just make sure you quarantine when you come back, John.
Yes. Right. Okay. And thank you very much, everybody. And we'll see you soon.